Matthew's gospel today deals with the account of Jesus' mysterious encounter with the Canaanite woman. This is a well-known story, but Matthew's version in particular is difficult because in it, Jesus says some things that sound offensive to our ears and probably would have sounded offensive in the first century AD. One of the first things to note about our gospel is the geography. Jesus is in the district of Tyre and Sidon. These were Gentile territories that were in the north of what we call the Holy Land today. The scriptures say that she was a Canaanite woman who was seeking deliverance for her daughter, who was possessed by a demon. So this woman isn't just Gentile, she isn't even just a pagan, she belongs to the Canaanites, which of all the pagan peoples were the most immersed, not just in idolatry, but in immorality, and had a history of being enemies of Israel. They were at war constantly with Israel throughout the Old Testament. And yet this woman, who is a Gentile and a Canaanite, comes to Jesus and says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Now, what is interesting about that approach? This shows you first and foremost that she is no ordinary Canaanite. She's coming to Jesus and begging him for mercy and using the title, the royal title, Son of David, when she is addressing him. In that statement, she honors Christ as King, as Messiah, as the ruler of the people of Israel, which is a lot more than Jesus got from some of his contemporaries living in the Holy Land. Many of them rejected him, but this Canaanite woman recognizes him. And the expression, "Have mercy on me, Lord," eleison me, Kyrie in the Greek, is where we get the Kyrie eleison from in the Mass. When we say Kyrie eleison in Greek, it is a plea to God for mercy. So how does Jesus respond to this extraordinary plea and this honor that this woman gives him? He ignores her. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't answer her one word. This is very mysterious, and frankly, we might think it to be quite rude. So what is Jesus up to here? And then the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Lord, please send her away. She's crying after us," which is to say, she's annoying us. We can't be bothered with this woman. But Jesus doesn't send her away. He appears to be dismissive, but he does not send her away. His response, however, is again mysterious. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What is he saying here? If you look at that in context, this has to do with the fact that as the Messiah, Jesus is sent on his mission during his earthly life, during his public ministry. He is sent first and foremost and only, as he says here, to the house of Israel. So although Jesus would go into foreign territories, and on occasion he does encounter non-Israelites, like the Gerasene demoniac, who is clearly a pagan, his mission, the people he goes to, the people he seeks after, are what he calls the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We know at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection, Jesus is going to tell the apostles, "Go to all nations, preach the good news to all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That we know as the Great Commission. But he doesn't send them to the Gentiles until after the resurrection, because there is an order to salvation history. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans in 1 verse 16, "To the Jew first and then to the Greek." In other words, God's message of salvation is first given to his chosen people, and then through them it goes out to all the nations of the world after the resurrection. So basically what Jesus is saying here in that sentence, "I wasn't sent to the Gentiles during my earthly ministry." But this Canaanite woman, a woman of great faith, does not give up. The scriptures say she came and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me. And the sense of the Greek there in the verb knelt is that she worshiped him. She not only knelt, but she worshiped him. So then what is Jesus' response to this worship? He resists further and says, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Another strong rebuff, which is to say, you don't take the salvation that is supposed to come to Israel first and then give it first to the Gentiles. So how then does this woman respond? Again, she persists. She's not going anywhere until she gets some healing for her daughter. So she flips it around and she says those poignant words to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And that's the breaking point. That's the turning point. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. When I began today, I mentioned that many people find this passage to be very difficult, disturbing, and even offensive because of the way that Jesus responds to the Canaanite woman. Yet we know that our Lord is loving, compassionate, and desires that all come to the knowledge and the love of God. He desires that men and women of all nations be saved. It seems like Jesus is being unnecessarily rude, unnecessarily standoffish, and it also seems like he's being insulting when he compares the Gentiles to dogs and the Israelites to children. So what do we make of this passage? How do we make sense of the way that Jesus is treating this woman? I think that the writings of St. John Chrysostom can shed a lot of light on this passage. St. John Chrysostom lived in the 4th century AD. He was the Archbishop of Constantinople, a very, very influential figure in the early church. He was an early Eastern church father. He wrote this about this passage. "Have you understood? When the disciples entreated him, the Lord put them off," meaning when he asked him to send her away. "But when the woman herself cried out begging for this favor, he granted it. And at the beginning, when she first made her request, he did not answer. But after she had come to him once, twice, and a third time, he gave her what she desired. By this he was teaching us that he had withheld the gift not to drive her away, but to make that woman's patience an example for all of us." We need to remember always that our Lord had prophetic insight into the hearts of the people with whom he interacted. He knew what people were thinking, and he knew their hearts. So what St. John Chrysostom is telling us here is that there is a spiritual meaning to Jesus' encounter with this woman. Jesus isn't doing this to her to hurt her feelings or to insult her, but he is testing her faith just like he tests our faith in order to give us an example of patience in prayer. Jesus wants to give us an example of the fact that it's important to ask other people for help, like the woman with the disciples. But at the end of the day, we must be persistent in our prayers. And if we really want the Lord to answer our prayer, we need not to pray once and then give up. We need to persist, even in the face of difficulties, even in the face of the apparent silence of God. We need to entreat him to be patient in prayer, be persistent, trusting that the Lord hears us and that he knows what is best for us and that all things will work together in his plan of providence for good for those who love him. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "We know that in everything God works for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." Do we know this verse? Do we believe this verse? Do we pray and live as if we believe this verse?